Welcome to the C3SYD Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit our website, c3syd.church. Wherever you're listening from right now, we pray that this message will bless you.
Fantastic. We're in this great series, His Heart and Our Heart, and that transaction that is meant to occur in our lives where we truly begin to do a journey, not just of here discovering the simplicity of our relationship with Him, maybe the baseline of our relationship in terms of His heart for us, which is beautiful, understanding God's heart for us, but really getting the full picture of His heart for everyone, His heart for humanity, His heart for creation. And until that heart really gets into our heart, we'll never see really the concept of mission and the mission that Christ has called us to in the right way. And I love it when last week we focused on the heart for the one, and we're really going to tap into that here tonight again and really explore that and maybe take that to the next level here tonight. But God truly does care for the one. And I love it. Every time one person comes and says yes to Jesus is like the greatest day on history for me. It's just like, which is awesome. Every Sunday I have the greatest day of history. It's just incredible. But honestly, heaven is rejoicing every time one person just decides to turn and say yes to Jesus. And tonight you're going to have that opportunity in a little bit, and it's going to be one of the greatest things you can do. And we'll be cheering and celebrating because we just know that your life is going to be transformed. But perhaps what I get even more excited about is the flow-on story of that. When one life, it's like this kingdom pattern that happens. One life is reconciled to God, and because of that reconciliation, they're able to be reconciled to one another. They're actually able to connect with each other in a pure way. Their motives are pure, just to show the love and kindness of God. And that interaction then takes them, this new person, into an interaction with God. And then they then themselves spread out to one another. And we see this one by one by one by one connection to the heart of the Father and to each other, so that we truly see His heart for many start to take place. That's His heart for us. So we're going to look at this scripture in Matthew 9, and it's a bit of a chunky portion, so flow with me here. But I want to look at this pattern of reaching the one as we reach the many. And it says this: while He was saying these things to them, He was saying something, and I'm sure it was amazing. Behold, a ruler came in and knelt before Him, saying, "My daughter has just died. But come and lay your hands on her, and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed Him with His disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 20 years came up behind Him and touched the fringe of His garment. For she said to herself, "If I can only touch the garment, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, He said, "Take heart, daughter." I love that. He looks at her and He says, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion — He doesn't like flute players — He said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead but sleeping." And they laughed at Him. But when the crowd had been put outside, He went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. And as Jesus passed out from there, two blind men followed Him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When He entered the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to Him, "Yes." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread His fame through all that district. Say all. Come on, help me preach this tonight. As they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute and was brought to Him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowd, say the crowd, marveled, saying, "Never was anything like this seen in Israel." Now, we know at times that Jesus, in one interaction, would see thousands of people impacted. Like, He fed 5,000 men, probably 10,000 to 20,000, once you include the children and the women, with a few loaves and a few fish in one instance. We see the church in the earlier days reaching thousands, 3,000 added to their number in one interaction, one day. And I would think, just me personally, if I was had a plan to reach as many people as I can, I'd be sticking to that game plan, Jesus. That's a good model. Like one miracle, 20,000 people, we're good. How frustrating would it be have been for the disciples on mission to go and reach as many people as they can, and Jesus keeps stopping for one person? Why'd he do that? Why wouldn't he just stick to reaching? We know he can do it. We know it was authentic. It wasn't like this kind of, oh, it's not personal enough. No, no, they're getting fed. They're having their needs met. It's exciting. They're caught up. Why did he do this? Was he doing it because he wanted us to see how much he cared for one person? Was he doing it to show us just how much empathy he has for the one? Was that why he was doing it? And I'm sure that's part of it. Or was he also doing it because he wanted to model to the church a way that as we reach one, we can actually reach a city? That as one person is interacted with and touched in a way that is so profound, that has such an incredible interaction with one man, that that message spreads through an entire city. That there is a pattern at play here, where as we reach one, we're able to reach many. As we reach the one, we are fulfilling his will that all, like, man, we need to get this in our hearts tonight. All will come to know him. All. Like, this is how crazy it is. So, Peter is in his letter trying to explain people to not lose hope because Jesus said he'd coming back, but he's not back yet. And this is like thousands of years ago, so they were really premature in terms of what they thought Jesus was up to. But they're like, Peter, when's Jesus coming back? And he says this in 2 Peter 3:8-9, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's been patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. God's plan is so good that he is waiting. He could come back tomorrow, but he is waiting because he wants to see all come to know him. Who is thankful for a God who's patient with us and patient with others? Because he wants to see all. His heart is for all. So first of all, what am I trying to say? Foremost, Khalees, that'll do. Thank you. I feel encouraged. His heart for the many needs to become our heart. His heart for the many needs to become our heart here tonight. So a little bit further in Matthew 9, it says, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You know, the way we see the crowd around us will be changed when we have his heart. When we have his heart. When I see a crowd, I got to be honest with you, I would probably say I'm more on the introvert kind of side of things that might surprise you a little, but when I see a crowd, I don't get super pumped or excited. I get more anxious. Like, I don't know about you. I love our city. Love Sydney. Got a big heart for it. But driving to the city, I'm sometimes, oh, there's lots of people here. And we can be overwhelmed. When I think of our mission, our vision, Sydney, a city for Christ, I'm like, wow, how? God, it's big. It's so easy when we're seeing a crowd through our own eyes and through our missional eyes without God's heart, how we can be so overwhelmed by people. We can be so overwhelmed by all that we need to do. It can be too easy for us to not see. It can be too easy to focus on our own lives and ignore the hurt, the need, the helplessness and hopelessness of the people around us. And as a church even, we can be really good about being about we, ourselves and us. And I got to tell you, until we get that heart for God, we are missing a key part of the ingredient. Because if all we are doing is existing for we, ourselves and us, and we need to love one another, we need to look after one another. Man, I love every Sunday when we get to come together and just spend 20, 30 minutes in worship together. It's awesome, but if that's all it's about, because it's not just about we, ourselves and us, it's about them. His heart's about them. His heart's about them, folks. So we need to get his heart. Because Jesus has asked us to have compassion. He's asked us to see. And when we get God's heart, it changes the way we see others. So the other week, we were going overseas, and which was awesome. And we'd been planning, and we were really excited. And we got to the time of packing our bags the night before. And we're going out with no kids. This is going to be awesome. We love you kids. They're amazing. But we're not taking you with us. And that's like the best thing in the world. But don't get insecure about it because we still love you. And we're packing our bags and we're going on another trip without the kids. I went to Disneyland without you. And now we're going overseas without you. It's going to be amazing. And we'll pay for your counseling later. But we're packing our bags and it's really, really exciting. And I looked at Tam and I said, okay, babe, cool. We got the passports. And she said, yep, I'll get the passports. I'm going to go to this area where we leave passports because it is the passport leaving area. That is where you leave the passports and that is where we will find the passports. And we went there and the passports were not there. And so we went, that's okay. I'm sure there's someone else. And so we looked and within the first hour of looking at about 9 o'clock at night, it was still, it's going to be fine because the passports just may have moved somewhere slightly different. At 10 o'clock, it was beginning a little bit annoying, but, you know, it's going to be fine. We're going overseas tomorrow. Who cares? We're going to find the passports. It's all good. 12 o'clock comes around, and now I'm starting to get a little bit concerned. And Pastor Phil asked me in retrospect, he said, when did you pray? I said, probably not early enough, obviously. But and we're looking for the passports, and we're trying to find it, and then we go in, and at one point, we thought maybe the girls had been playing with them. So we're like interrogating our children. It's like 1 a.m. in the morning. We're like shaking them. Wake up! Light in their eyes. Did you play with our passports? They're like, oh, I don't know. I'm tired. 3 a.m. I had what I would call a midlife tantrum. I felt it was reasonably reserved. But we went to bed. Light went off. Things were swimming, what I would like to say about this whole situation. I raised my fists and I bang on my bed and said, that's all I'm going to do because I have self-control. I was very proud of myself. Now, in the morning, we then thought, well, we need to get to the passport office and somehow try and beg, borrow and steal an emergency passport because we fly out that night. I've got to tell you, if then and there I had to go and talk to someone and be nice to someone, it would be the greatest fail in the history of evangelism. I was not my happiest self. So we're getting ready to go and it's about 8 a.m. in the morning. We're trying to get the kids out of bed. No, you're not going to school today. You're coming with us to the passport office to find the passports because you probably were playing with them. I know it was you, Isla. I didn't touch the passports. And I was reminded then by the Holy Spirit, check that one basket one more time. So I'm looking at him. He's like, I've already checked there. I said, I know, but I'm checking again. I lift up. Oh, what do you know? The passports. I found them. I got to tell you, there was much weeping. There was laughing. You know, ugly weeping, laughing, crying. I was like, Jesus, I love you. Thank you. I'm so sorry. Say those things about you. I really do love you and I know you're so kind to us. And I was just filled in this interaction. Now, then I had to go and have a haircut. My demeanor that day, I was like, I love everyone. You're all amazing. I swear people probably thought I was on drugs. I was just like, you're a great woman. My hairdresser, he's like, dude, you need to chill. Like, what's up? And I'm just like, oh, it's just awesome. God's so good, man. Rah, rah. It's incredible after an interaction with God, with His heart for us, how much He loves us, just even in the littlest thing, that you start to get the heart of God for people, it can change completely the way you see others and interact with us. You see, before an interaction like that, where you realize how good God is and how much He loves you, it's really easy just to see people like the rest of the world sees people. But when you get the heart of the Father, your perspective can completely shift. Suddenly you see people like He sees people. We need His heart to become our heart for people. When Jesus was reaching the woman at the well, His followers didn't see it. Couldn't understand it. Why are you interacting? Why are you doing this? You need to eat your food. Stop doing this. Why don't we go back to the 20,000 model? That was a good model. Now you're talking to some woman that we're not even meant to be connecting with. You're wasting your time, Jesus. And He says this. He says, do you not say there are 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. When we get a perspective shift in how God sees humanity and God sees His plan working through us as we have one interaction, He's asking us to see this in a different way. He's asking us as a church tonight to wake up and see in a different way. He wants us to see the need, but He also wants us to see the potential of what God can do through us. We need the revelation of how Jesus sees this city. So Matthew 9:37, He says a similar thing that He said to His disciples. The harvest field is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest and send out laborers into His harvest. If you want to take on His heart to see, if you want to have compassion and not be overwhelmed, we need to pray. We got to pray. When you pray, every time you stop and connect with God, it should be doing two things. You should be connecting with God in an intimacy with Him, a relationship with Him, where you can say, our Father, not our God, not our distant being, but our Father in heaven. But immediately it should follow with your kingdom come, your will be done. We have to constantly in prayer connect with God the Father, be connected to Him, but immediately be connected with His purpose, with His kingdom, with His will. Pray like this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know when you pray, heaven meets earth? Did you know that we are now the new temple? That there was once a time where God would visit a temple and people would die because the glory was so splendid? People would fall out under the power of God because the power was so splendid? And we are His church now. We individually and corporately as people are the temple of God. We are a holy priesthood. We are set up where heaven connects with us. Heaven connects with earth through us. And in that moment, we catch a sight of God's heart for people. Pastor Amanda calls it this, but you get a rah in your spirit. Where when you're praying for people, and you're praying for the lost, and you're praying for this city, you can connect with God and begin to see His perspective, and suddenly something rises up on the inside of you that has come straight out of heaven. It's the heartbeat of God. Don't give up in doing good. Don't stop partnering with one another and with heaven in prayer. Every Tuesday night, 6 p.m., we pray, people. And you know what? I love it. I understand it, but I'm a little bit troubled by it. I'll preach a couple of weeks in a row, prayer meeting, we can see it rise. And it's amazing. There's 100 people praying. I'm like, this is awesome. A few weeks, a few months. It's like I don't even have a good example for it, so I'm going to stop. But you just see it dwindle. And that right there says we've missed it. We've missed it. Church, we need to be praying. Do you know every single Sunday night, every single Sunday day, in all of our service, like tonight at 5:20, all our team comes and prays. Do you know you're all welcome to that? Come and pray. Do you know in your connect groups, please don't just meet and have coffee and talk about life. Make sure you pray. Do you know that when you're just in your own life, pray. And when you're praying, you're connecting with God. You're connecting with the Father. You're connecting with His heart. But at the same time, you're connecting with kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. So that we get His perspective in our lives. And when we are praying for the many to come to know Jesus, we suddenly realize we are praying for us. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Jesus, send the workers. Yes, Lord. Jacob Long, send him, God. He's lazy. And I'm too busy and important. Send him. Lord, send Molly Grover. She's so good at it. I'm terrible. Send her, God. No. When we say, Lord, send the laborers, what I'm realizing, I'm praying for me. I'm praying to the Lord. I'm saying, Lord, I realize I'll go. I'm praying for me to be inspired. I'm praying for me to be empowered. I'm praying for me to have opportunity. Because the reality of how we're going to reach many is this. We reach the many as many reach the one. I'm telling you, we reach the many as many reach one. If we are praying for God, sometimes I would come to prayer meetings and I'd hear, Lord, we're praying for souls. God, we're praying for souls. I'm like, well, good, but where are they going to come from? I was like, quick, catch them. Hear one. No. Lord, fill me with your heart today. Fill me with your heart today. Fill me with your heart today. So that I would see one. When we are full of his love, and I say full. When we are full of his heart, and I say full. And when we are full of his spirit, we can all reach out with spirit-filled love, kindness, grace and mercy, generosity, serving, encouragement. You see, the power of your current encouragement, when it is filled with the Spirit, it's life transforming. The power of your serving, when it's filled with the Spirit, it's life transforming. The power of your generosity, it seems so simple, I just was generous. When it's filled with the Holy Spirit, when you are filled with the heart of God and filled with His Spirit, it's life transforming. The power of your grace and your mercy, you were just patient. Someone was yelling at them before because they were taking too long to make their soy half-strength, mocha, something, whatever, and you just showed a little bit of grace and mercy. You thought, oh, I did, but they're crying because of the Holy Spirit. Your kindness. When you're filled with the Spirit, we've been supporting a guy in our neighborhood and he's just going through the most worst thing ever. And we decide we're going to go and hang out with him. And I was really nervous about it because I was like, what do I say? I said, Lord, help me. And all I was kind. And every time I just said something kind, he'd just start crying. I thought, wow, I'm really good at this. No. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. When we are full of their spirit, their heart will hear and feel something deeper than your words and your actions. It is His Spirit in us that moves people towards Jesus. They will see God in you. They will hear God in you. They will feel God through you. When you love them, they will feel God's love. When you care for them, they will see God cares. When you are kind, they will see God's kindness. And so Jesus, He promised the woman at the well this same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, a living water that would flow in and through her life. And after interacting with Jesus, this Spirit-filled Son of God, she went out and reached so many. She goes into her town, and basically the entire town is touched. Now, it doesn't say that all of the town was saved, but all of them were impacted by her story. And then individually and as groups of them would come back and they actually then met with Jesus, they said this profound thing. They said, we'd heard her story and we knew you were good, but now we can see. Now we know you're the Savior of the world. A woman who was thirsty, a man who gave her time, that had the Spirit of God on the inside of him, shifted an entire town. Friends, this is how we will reach Sydney. This is how we reach the city. It's not by you being more enthusiastic about reaching others. Because until we get his heart, and until we get the revelation, and until we are filled with his spirit, at best, we can help people have a good day. But when we're filled with the spirit, when we see his heart, the even simplest act of kindness can be life transforming.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. We invite you to follow us at c3syd.oxfordfalls on Instagram and Facebook, or join us at church for one of our services this Sunday at 8:30, 10, and 6. Have a great week.